check this out. This is Fresh Blood, the China Man, with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfuckers.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics, and shadow design. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, you kind of view the digits. Everything free to download and stream. Oh, yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we
brought
up, it's we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. Motherfuckers.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder masking music show. Free the homie gangster crew. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming in a song. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Perez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. The homie Sin in France helped me put together this dope show tonight. You know what I'm saying? Man, we're going to be chopping it up with some New Orleans legends. You know what I'm saying? Murder Inc., man, the one and only Crazy. And, of course, you know what I'm saying, MCL. We got Crazy on the line right now. I'm going to bring him on. We're going to chop it up with him, and hopefully we'll have MCL on pretty soon. Crazy, man, perfect name for these crazy times, brother. How are you and yours holding up?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just, like I say, keeping that mask on and staying out the way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. I see a lot of, you know, when I go out and stuff, I see a lot of clowns, man, not taking this stuff serious. And it's like, man, you better give me 50 feet, you know what I'm saying? It's getting real fucked up. I never thought this would happen. You as a performer, as an artist, you know what I'm saying? I know it's really, you know, hit the entertainment community hard, you know what I'm saying? How does this affect your grind as an independent artist?
Well, if you know, you can't. Like most of the stuff, basically, if you can't do any concerts and nothing like that, if you're going to do any shows, you dig. So it kind of put everything at a standstill, you know, because you don't want to, everything that basically you do as a performer, it means people gathering. So at the end of the day, all of that is over, you know, you can only do stuff online or whatever like that. So I guess it gives you a lot of time to really work on your craft, you know, practice your music and, you know, be ready. Once everything open back up, you should have some hits, you know, if you're a rapper.
Yeah. So basically just staying, you know what I'm saying, prepared and ready to go when it's time. You know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know,
you should come back better.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Man, you've been in the game for a minute, you've been doing your thing, you know what I'm saying? New Orleans is a historic hip hop city. Man, where do your roots lie in New Orleans hip-hop scene, man? Where do you guys go back?
Oh, man. With me, I'm kind of a mixture of two worlds. Like, I was born uptown, New Orleans, the Melvin Projects, and I was raised, my mama moved downtown when I was like 8 or 9 years old, so I was raised in the Iberville Projects, which is downtown. So I'm kind of like a mixture of two worlds. You know, that's why I guess everybody always say I was probably the only dude that could go in every project in the city because, like, I got blood everywhere. I was a little different at an early age. I was pretty much all over New Orleans, man. I got my footprints all over everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, when you were coming up, there's so much talent in that city, man. You know what I'm saying? Magnolia Slim was coming up and everything. What was it like, you know what I'm saying, seeing the rise of Soldier Slim, man? Were you there to witness it, and did you know him at all?
Yeah, when I was younger, me and my bro Phantom used to go uptown, to the Magnolia Project, because I got a lot of cousins from the Magnolia. You know, a lot of my mama first cousin and our first cousin from the Magnolia, but my dog Sam, we like brothers, call ourselves brothers, and he had a cousin who had Slim on a record label when Slim was a teenager. And so I used to see Slim a lot just walking through the hood. We wasn't friends at that time. He was just like a little, you know, he was a troublemaker in his hood walking through that. You know, I remember when he got shot up like two different times and stuff, I would just used to be back there visiting, doing my thing with our people. But we used to always see Slim like just bouncing through with his camouflage on and stuff. I was, before me and Slim actually started doing music together years later, I was kind of a fan of him. You know, I used to go to all the little concerts and stuff. We just wasn't friends. Like, I was from my project and he was from his project, you know? But
yeah,
I pretty much seen him come up from way back in the day when he was just in the streets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we had, you know what I'm saying, one of the Master P's early producers, DJ Daryl, and he said when he was on the show, he said that Slim, you know what I'm saying, he was one of the most respected and feared men in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying, like people, like he was for real about his shit. You know, the music he made was authentic. You know, what kind of vibe did Soldier Slim have, you know what I'm saying, in the streets? And after his death, you know what I'm saying, what kind of legacy is left behind in New Orleans to commemorate Soldier Slim?
Yeah, he was like that. But you got to understand about New Orleans, Slim was a rapper, he was talented, you know, just like me. But in New Orleans, everybody had that kind of rep in the streets. You know, in New Orleans, everybody built like that. You know, being honest, Slim would tell you the same thing if he was alive. Everybody in New Orleans is built like that and have a gangster presence. You know, everybody, even the dudes going to church every Sunday. You know, if you get out of line with him, he'll lay you down. But boy, Slim, like, he added so much, you know, just original flavor. Like, BG from Cash Money got his style from Slim. You know, when Slim went to jail the first time, BG style and Slim style was, BG like mimicked the style, and then when Slim got out and got with No Limit, he had to change his style. He started rapping faster. And you listen to the old Soldier Slim, him and BG sound just alike, because BG idolized Slim and kind of, I guess, like me and Tupac, you know, like that, you know. So BG kind of, you know, sounded just like Slim. I couldn't tell the difference. That's what made me start liking BG at an early age, because he sounded like Slim. I thought it was Slim so many times. They say, nah, that's that young kid BG. That's how I knew about him, because I thought he was Slim. And when Slim came home from jail, Slim, and got with No Limit, he had to change his style, because him and BG had them made it famous doing the bling bling and the hot boys. He had them blew the style up, so Slim wanted to try to switch it up. So that's when Slim came home and Slim started rapping faster. Like, if you listen to him with No Limit, he was just rapping real fast. Like, with a go-go, you know, he just had everything was flowing. He had changed his style. He used to just be like a slow rapper. He kind of changed it up and started rapping a little faster with a little twist of the tongue and all of that. He used to rap more like DJ rap, just laid back when he first started, you know. But he gave a lot to the city, a lot of real music. He started the Soldier Reeboks, the camouflage thing. He was doing all of that. You know, I was living proof. You know, I used to go to the Treme Center and stuff that was downtown, you being in our area, and I used to see him and Trinity, all his partners, R.I.P. to all of them. I used to see them all wearing camouflage. Slim started that. He just had a real authentic thing about him, and he was just a, you know, I got to know Slim, like, really, like, where we was friends, you know. I mean, him was real, really friends. Like, we was hanging together a lot when he got out of jail. And he was just a real unique dude. He was just the type, though, if he, you know, he was like on some, I would say he was like a skinny Suge Knight type of dude. You know, if he wants you to be with him, you got to be with him. You know, he was just like that, you know. And if you ain't riding with him, you know, y'all going to fall out, you know. That's how Slim was. Like, he feel like, you know, when I say this, say that. You know what I'm saying? So when you kind of boss, you and him going to always bump heads, like me and him always did. We bump heads. You know, because I kind of had my crew, my downtown crew. I had my mob shooting. He had his mob. So, you know, sometimes when people want you to, you know, two bosses get together, it's like, you know, we got to always argue over everything before we work it out, you know. But he had No Limit hard, man. He had No Limit hard. He was, like, when they first did the No Limit thing, I wasn't with them. I was doing the local thing. That's when I was doing my hard head and my Murder Inc. stuff when they was back doing all of that. And then by the time I got with No Limit, he was in prison. Then he came out of prison. Me and him was we was together every time. We look at the videos, the No Limit videos he did. We on each other's music, we on each other's songs. Like, we was just like that, you know? So it was a big loss for the city, man. You know, when Slim passed, it was just a big loss because, like I say, Slim brought so much to the city, man. He brought so much of, you know, just so much of authentic. Like, he was just authentic, man. The whole soldier, everything. He was just that type of dude. You know, it's just a shame that, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he was just, you know what I'm saying, he was bigger than life. I mean, just timeless.
Yeah, he was. He just, you know, sometimes we do this gangster music, it's just like, I don't know, it's just like you always invite the next hardhead or the next, you know, the next knucklehead that's coming up to test you, you know. Sometimes, you know, like Slim wasn't really doing the music, and kind of like Boosie said in the interview, sometimes when you rap about that kind of stuff and you stay in the same place, your homeboys and your friends, somebody going to kill you, you know?
Yeah.
And Slim was the type, like Slim was awesome. The type of dude. Yeah, so, yeah, like Nipsey. So Slim was the type of dude, he just wouldn't really move around like that, you know? He just would. I don't know, he was in the street. It could have been his habits or whatever he had, you know, could have been his addictions or whatever, but whatever it was, he wouldn't go too far from his hood. And at the end of the day, that's New Orleans. New Orleans don't care if you're a rapper or whatever, if they can touch you and y'all got a problem, they're going to touch you. They don't care. Just because you're a rapper, you're not off limits, like you said with Nipsey. Just because you're a rapper, you ain't off limits. You're only off limits when you got that security. But if you ain't got no security, it's New Orleans, like I told you. Everybody is a soldier, Slim. Everybody is a crazy. You ain't. Only thing separates you. Only thing separates you from them is your talent. Everybody is an MCL in the 7-1. Everybody is like that. The only thing separates you from them is your talent and your ambition. But at the end of the day, once you get into it with somebody in the streets, their mentality is still the same. The stuff you rapping about, that's their life still. Like, you probably traveling the world with music, but the life you rapping about, the gangster life, somebody living there just like your songs is. So when they could touch you, they're going to touch you. They're not going to say, oh, we're going to let Slim make it. We're going to let Crazy make it. We're going to let L make it or whoever. We're going to let them make it because they rap. Ah! You got to back it up.
Yeah. Oh.
You feel me?
You mentioned Tupac. Have you ever heard of Soulja Kluminati in New Orleans? That's Soulja Slim's younger cousin.
I heard of him. I heard a couple of them. I was more cooler with his original crew, like Trinity, Double Crosser, you know, Lil. You know, those dudes. I was more. Now his son, before his son put an album out, he wrote me on Instagram or Facebook. He wrote me on Facebook before he even came to light. And because I had did that song, It's All I See, on my Us Killing Us album, and where I recognized Slim and everything. And I always talk good about Slim. Even though before Slim died, like I said, him and P fell out, and he kind of just chose me to beef with because he wanted me and him to leave and start Uptown Downtown Records. Uptown for him, Downtown for me. But P had them did a lot for me. And I couldn't be disloyal.
Oh, Slim wanted you to leave No Limits so you guys could do that joint
with
venture?
When him and P fell out, me and him was tight. Me and Slim was tight. You know, but me and Slim got tight like we got because P put us together. You got to understand, Master P booked all the flights. He booked everything. So a lot of time, me and Slim on the flight next to each other. We doubling up in the hotel rooms. Who you think was doing that? That was P. He put me and him together, you know. He created that relationship because, you know, me and him were, you know, two of his strongest artists. He wanted us together.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when him and P fell out behind some money, Slim was like, man, I want me and you to go do us. I'm like, nah, I can't do that because at the time, P had done did a lot for me. Like, I had my children. I had my daughter and my son back to back. P just made a way for me. P put me on. He took me worldwide. I went from local to worldwide. I feel like I owed him a lot. You know, I feel like I was in debt with him just for being good to me. So I couldn't just go and just leave P just because him and Slim fell off. What kind of stuff is that? But Slim ain't understand that, you know. Slim mind, like I told you, he got a one-track mind. If he wants you to ride with him, either with him or against him, he don't care about your relationship with P. He just think about either you with me or you're not, you know.
The reason I brought up Soldier Illuminati is he sounds so much like him. And Little Soldier Slim, man, we interviewed him back in like 2012, man, one of the first interviews we ever did with him. And we had him and Soldier Illuminati all talking to KLC. It was dope. You know what I'm saying? To see the second generation and his DNA continue the legacy, you know. But speaking of legacies, man, we could talk about Soldier Slim for 5 fucking hours, man. But speaking of legacies, crazy.
I'm going to tell you one more thing. The most person I heard sound like Slim to me is Main Music. Main Music sounds just like Slim. All them other guys, they
Main
cool.
Music.
But Main Music, he was with No Limit for a little while, him and TC. He got a song called Soldier Slim Flow. You look up Main Music and it say Soldier Slim Flow. This dude, I heard him in person. He looked like Slim. He in jail now, but he looked like Slim and he rapped like Slim. That's the most I done heard out. I never heard nobody else that give me that Slim feeling. Me and X-Son got a little Slim in him, but he more like a BG, you know?
Yeah.
He got that old Slim flow that BG had, you know?
I'm
just telling you that.
No, I was gonna take a break real quick. I'm gonna go to a song and then I'm gonna bring on MCL, man. I wanna chop it up about your guys' legacy when you guys started out. You know what I'm saying? But before we go to this song, you know, man, when did you actually jump into the game in New Orleans, man? Were you a solo artist or did you go straight into the Murder, Inc.?
I was doing different things, but I never had put nothing out, man. I had so many groups back then. You know, before you actually put the album out, you experiment with different groups. I had a group way back in the days was called Rated G. And then I had another group called Terror Unit. That's what me and Mr. Sleep, me and him hooked up. So, Hardhead is just a crazy story. It was like the dude who was over the company, Roderick, they came to my project because they was real street dudes. So they was in my hood, you know, doing a lot of street shit, and some people told them, man, they got a dude named Crazy that could rap. He'll be good for your label. And Roderick said, man, y'all go get him. And Roger was a dude who had a lot of money, so he bought food for the whole neighborhood, a lot of chronic, a lot of drink, 40 ounces for everybody. And I went out there and I freestyled for him, and one of his partners, Tough, took his shirt off and gave it to me and told me, I'm Hardhead. I signed the contract later on that day.
Wow.
So that's how I became Hardhead Records.
Man.
And then at the time I was, at the time right when we got with Hardheads, I was I had found Alamo, so I used to be, you know, I used to write lyrics for her because she was so cold. She was I had heard her sing an 8-Ball and MJG song, and a girl rapper back then name was Boss. She was hot, and Alamo used to just rapping, and I said, man, you write raps? And she said, no. I said, man, you a rapper? And she said, you think so? I said, man, I'm telling you, if I write you some stuff, I bet you, you'll be cold. So it took me a little while going back and forth with her. And then I started writing some music for her, and I used to put it on a tape recorder, and she used to listen to me, and she was just rapping, man. And let me tell you, she used to bring that. She had it, man. She had everything. And at that time, L was already established. L was like Hardhead's first artist. So he had already had Black Robin Hood and stuff like that out. So he Hardhead Records, you know, they were looking for something else to follow as a follow-up to L. So that's how we put the whole Murder, Inc. together. They had a couple other members, Legend Man. When we first did Murder, Inc., they had another member that never made it. He wound up, I don't know why, but Roger didn't use him. His name was Gangsta Black. He used to write songs for Bushwick from the Ghetto Boys.
Oh, shit.
He was the original member of Murder, Inc. We did like 3 songs together with all of us and Gangsta Black. But I don't know what happened, but Roger cut him from the group. But he used to rap pretty good. I don't know if he was kind of seasoned. So it was probably one of them situations where he was just looking for some money, you know? because he had already did some stuff with Bushwick and the Ghetto Boys and Rap-A-Lot. He had already made money. So he might have went on the other hand with us. We were just looking for, all of us were still in the street, so we was all right on money. We just were looking for opportunity with the rap. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just wanted to showcase your talent to the world.
Yeah.
And
Gangsta Black hadn't already made money off publishing, and so he probably told Roger, I need some money. Roger probably like, what? You know? So that's what I think happened, now that I look back at it. But all of us, we were just young and just trying to make it. So, you know, we weren't tripping. It wasn't ever about no money with me. Like, I was just, like you said, I was just trying to showcase my talent. I want to put my hood on the map. You know, finally we got this guy who's going to put hundreds of thousands behind us. I'm quiet. I'm appreciative. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunity. But Gangsta Black was like, man, how much money are we talking about? You know, how much money are we talking about? Now, Roger could have easily paid him some money, but I guess it was like, man, I'm about to spend all this money on you, and you already asking about money, and you ain't sell one record.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's a complicated business, like, that's for sure.
Yeah,
a lot of,
it's complicated.
A lot of stuff comes with it.
Yeah, you
know.
It do.
But we're gonna go to a song real quick, Crazy. And we're going to come back. We're going to chop it up with you. We're going to bring on MCL as well as the homie Sin from France. I know he wants to ask you guys some questions. But this song here, man, this is off the MCL project. This is Surviving the Game. This is with all three of you guys, I believe. You, MCL, and Legend Man, right?
Yeah. And that's Ed. You know, I want to say R.I.P. to Ed because he's singing the hook on there. R.I.P. Ed West. He just passed from the corona. He's singing the hook on that Surviving the Game.
Man,
that's him singing the hook. Yeah, that's Ed West. He sung all our stuff, classic. Bloody, bloody, bloody murder. He sung all that.
Well, this is some classic, timeless music. We'll be right back. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have MCL on with Crazy as well. And the homie DJ Lord Sinister. Don't go nowhere.
Yeah, nigga. I'm sick of these old motherfuckers. White motherfucking brains in the system, nigga. Trying to shut a nigga down. I'm bugging, nigga. They don't understand, nigga. Every motherfucking day, nigga, slinging the game, you know what I'm saying? Fucking with a nigga, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get out this game, but I'm still surviving.
Fuck the media, the judges, and the crooked jury. They got a nigga popping D's to the stress and fury. Look in my eyes, can you stand the pressure and all the pain? What I really need is some Hennessy and the drain to maintain my composure. On that closure, it's been a hard hit, I'm getting too much exposure. Niggas jealous of me, and you can bet. For 21 years, they've been trying to see a nigga dead. But I ain't falling a slipper up in this game. If a nigga catch me even with my Luger, then I'm to blame. I wanna know, father, if I die to tell tomorrow, will my funeral be filled with tears of sorrow? Or will it be filled with jealous niggas and bitches I couldn't stand on? Come to see the face of a dead man, your last chance. I'm blowing up to get my mind right. I'm paranoid in the day, so I only sling crack at night. I'm always on the move, never stand in one spot. Even your niggas might be plotting, fool to get you cut. I can't go back to jail, that's what my lawyer tell me. A five-time loser, a triple bailment. The world considers me a nigga that can't be tamed. Society to blame, survive in the game. The world considers me a thug that can't be tamed. The ivory built to blame, survive in the game.
I'm just surviving this game.
Gotta stay a step ahead of the cop. With a Glock 40, the gun for the one shot stopper. Nigga from all the thugging I did, I'm taking it to them senseless. I'm going to see you straight. Nigga, the feeling got me relentless. But it's the trigger to blame. Fuck it, I figure the pain. Got me looking more helpless, ducking like a nigga insane. Straight up losing it. Running around town, I'm looking hopeless. Fuck it, I'm in the game, but this is the that got me the locust. Hoping my life is hell. Cause fuck, I'm living it hefty. I'm drinking it till I die. Cause maybe I can't accept the check. And I was living twice, playing rocks, but I ain't tend to win. The game is my life. I'm surrendering and thinking about no jail. That attitude is stealing me. Before the legs go back to the prison, bitches killing me. My hood is hot of the flames. A nigga just gotta remain. To feel like it ain't no thing. To just survive in this motherfucking game.
I'm just surviving this game. Hurting from the pain. Going insane. Lord knows I'm home.
it's a shame you get done when you're living in a punt and a bottle full of dumb. Experience teaches you the hard way to lost it. Listen to his words, but I was being a hard head. Sometimes I wonder how would it end, you know, inside a casket or in the pen. But yo, I'm not about steady dwelling on your problems. I'll tell you how a nigga got away from ducking and dodging reality. All my homies mad with me, watching me go to jail, fucking up my salary. And talking mega on the mic, living small as a golf ball. The hard head took a hard fall. Nobody caught me when a nigga fell. That's right, everybody said it's all on L to survive.
I'm just surviving this game, hurting from the pain, going insane. God knows I'm only thugging.
Welcome back to the Murder Master Music Show. That is fucking hip-hop, man. That's real music straight out the 90s, man. MCL, I want to bring him on as well, and I want to ask him about that track. MCL, man, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. How you doing, brother?
What's up?
Man, that track goes so hard, brother, man. What was the concept behind that track? And when you listen to that, you know what I'm saying, how does that make you feel all these years later?
I'm going to be honest with you. That was all crazy and Ed West. And when I heard the track and I heard Ed singing on it, I was like, all right, give me 15 minutes. And I'll be right back. Yeah. And I just had to get on that track. But really, originally, that was Crazy Dama and Ed West put that together, and I had to get on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. This was your album.
Well, it was my album, but we done so many songs in the studio at that time, me, Crazy, Ed, Legend, and Alamo, that we had so many songs left over that when I came to that album, True to Life, that we threw that one on there, and Crazy was anxious to do it too, and Ed was anxious, so we done it. But actually, I didn't come up with the concept. I think that was Crazy came up with the thing, Surviving the Game, and Ed West came with the hook, and I had to just spit 16 on there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to bring Crazy back on here in a minute, but before I do, man, where does your history in New Orleans hip-hop scene start, brother?
It starts in the 7th Ward, right? St. Bernard Project. I live 6 blocks away from there, and we lived a rough life down there. You know, certain blocks we couldn't go around and stuff, so we had to keep a close circle, and we chose ours, and I named them Hardheads. And I was like the face of the crew with the lyrics and stuff, you know? Everything came down to me when it came down to the music, so I ended up being the face of it, so. And in New Orleans, it was like right in between the Gentilly area, like 7th Ward.
You had a lot of lot of talent, a lot of competition in that city, you know what I'm saying? Can you describe the atmosphere at that time and what was it like, you know what I'm saying, to do shows in the city and to network and collaborate with all the other artists in New Orleans?
Oh, man. I can tell you honestly, it started with Mystical. Because when I started recording my first project, Black Robin Hood, Mystical was recording his first project, and we was in the same studio. It was Side One Studio on Dominant Chef in New Orleans. And sometimes I'll be on my way in the studio. Mystical will be on his way out. I'll be on my way out. He'll be on his way in. And I hear what he finished doing, or he'll hear what I finished doing. And it was thick competition. We had Tim Smooth. We had Buzz Down. We had MC Thick. You know, that was my era, you know. I'm talking about the early 90s. Is when I hit the scene, and those guys hit the scene in the late 80s. So I had to kind of keep up with him. But me and Mystical was thick competition back then because we both dropped in 94 in the same time. Like, it was rough back then trying to get on the scene because the South hadn't made a real mark on the scene. New Orleans had no real famous artists other than Gregory D from back in the day, but he didn't really, you know, live up to the plateau that we was reaching for.
Yeah, this was before the success of No Limit, you know what I'm saying, before Big Boy blew up, all them guys. Did you expect to see Mystical success coming? Because, like, the next year, I think he got signed to Jive, and then just, you know, started taking off.
I think Mystical is capable of any time. When you're a true artist and the music is in you, if you're only one hit away at all times. You can, and Mystical made so many hits before, who's to say Mystical can't sit down tonight and write a song and then, you know, next week everybody loves it, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He was my thickest competition when I first came on the scene. We both dropped at the same time.
The whole city had so much talent brewing at that time too. You know what I'm saying? Things were getting ready to just explode, you know. I want to bring on the homie Shin from France, and I want to bring on, you know what I'm saying, Crazy Man. Let's chop up about some Murder, Inc. history. Shin, Crazy, you guys there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
you. How in fact you met H. Hauser? What years was?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat the question?
How you met H. Hauser, in fact, also group, Murder NC, by the J.
How'd you guys meet? Is that what you said?
I was introduced to Crazy. I was already, we had already established Hardhead Records through me and Roger, and I had already pretty much produced the whole CD. And we was looking for new acts to spread the Hardhead name to more than just Seven Wall Hardhead. We wanted it to be Four-Wall Hardhead, Eastside Hardhead, because we wanted our whole city to be Hardhead. So Roger came to me and he told me he got this guy named Crazy. They called him Crazy from the Iberville Project. That's the Fort Wall. And he told me he was going to go over there and have a session. And if y'all know what a session is, that means we're going to take a whole ounce and roll up and we're just going to start rapping. And I swear to God, out of all the rappers I had to face, I never feared no rapper until I got with Crazy. That dude, Crazy started rapping, and I was on his home turf, too. I don't know if that had something to do with it, but I was intimidated because his delivery was so strong. I was like, yeah, me and this man can make some music. And from there, we just took it.
And what year was that?
That was 95, 96, something like that. No, it was 94. The end of 94, and then we came in 95. We was in the studio, and then
the label Hardhead Records was created by the Roger Rick Smith with Tim Pacey. He was killed, in fact. What happened to him at this time? It was a huge loss for you and Crazy. So
yeah. We lost Roger and the company kind of disintegrated. We had to do it. We had to do for our careers to stay afloat, and we kind of drifted apart. But we never stopped having the same family love. But we lost the backbone of our company when Roger died.
Yeah. Your first album, Playing for Kids, of Murder, ENC. Who got the idea of the skull made by Pan Pixel Graphics? It was a huge, horrific cover. Who goes to the IG of this cover?
You might have to ask Crazy about that one. With Pixel.
All right, yeah, L. Peter Pixel.
Yeah. Why you ain't helping me, Chris?
I'm enjoying your interview, man. I want to hear some of this good stuff too.
You want to hear too, huh?
I want to hear some of it too. Hey, it's bringing back memories, baby. L the King Hardhead. So I like to sit back and listen to how he think about everything too. You know what I'm saying? He was the first.
Yeah, and I love that. Thank you for giving me the stage for a minute, because I do have like things I want, you know, for the people to know. And it's true. The cover, going back to what you said about the cover for Murder Inc. There was a gap in my career where when Crazy and them went in the studio and started recording Murder Inc. Where I was incarcerated. I'm gonna be honest with you, I wasn't there for it. When I came home unexpectedly. I beat the case not knowing how. I don't know, but that's another story. But I came home and they had most of Murder Incorporated done already. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have much to say about the album cover, picture, or anything. I wasn't even there for it. All I knew is when I came home, they was almost done with production and Crazy squeezed me in where he could. It's Crazy. Crazy predominantly was the you could just say he was the quarterback when it came to Murder Incorporated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just came in late and collaborated. And then I was like the quarterback for True to Life, and Crazy came in, you know, and collaborated with me. That's what we do. We had so much music back then. You can give us 10 minutes and we had a song, you know what I mean?
Easy, say, bro, the vibe, bro. I'm telling you, you know what I think we all was, you know, like he said, L say with Roderick. Roderick was just like the Suge Knight of it all. So it's kind of like we all just draw the energy from each other. Like Roderick was doing his thing, and we knew we had to do our thing. So it was kind of like in that studio. We had some good producers. We had Jazzman. He had Cazale.
Yeah,
we had a lot of good producers around us.
Precise for Down South.
And that Survivor the Game song was done by a young producer named Mikey. He did that Survivor the Game song.
Yep.
He was a young, he was our youngest producer at the time. He was up and coming, you know? So that was like, and like L say, man, we throw so many songs together, man. I'm telling you, man. I remember L had to do the hook for the What They Sell Award. I was looking at that too. Murder, killing,
it took him like 3 minutes. All he had to do was hit a song and Chris and win the booth. That's how we were. All we had to do was hit a
beat. And boy, L was coming off that hook too. L come off that hook so hard, boy, that beat drop.
You had dope producers, you got FaZe, Jazz, who played for Kip Song. You got Legend Man also producing Silence Me. You got a lot of people. Also, for the L Black Robin Hood album, it was a first solo album, '93. At first, it was done by Pen and Pixel cover. It was done by a bullet on it. It was Sean Brock of Pen and Pixel Graphics on the bullet.
Yeah.
But it never really because it was forbidden by police department. It's crazy story. Even the police department took it from Sean. Can you tell us about this cover? It was crazy shit.
Yeah, see, there was a conflict of interest with Black Robin Hood. The first version of it came out with me standing on the cover with a gun and the Saints outfit and everything.
Uh-huh.
And when we got back to Masters from that first version of it, it was distorted. So Roderick sent it back in the studio and he got it remixed so it wasn't distorted, because when people was playing it loud, you couldn't really hear the lyrics and stuff. So he sent it back to get it remastered. And when he done that, he found Pen and Pixel. And that's when they changed the album cover to me holding a gun, shooting a bullet. It was the same CD, Black Robin Hood, with a different cover.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And that's why, that's when we met Pen and Pixel, and from there we was Pen and Pixel out. That's when they made the billboard for me.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? You got Sean Brock out as Bullet for it. And I then took it for my radio show, Six Days Underground Mix on UGS Radio. Dope cover. Also, you was writing for your opening concert for Q, Girl Boys, Ebola MJG, UGK back the day. At first, you were even writing for likes for Bushwick Bill, right?
That's what I wanted to talk to my boy Crazy about. He had it got it mixed up because Crazy came a few years after us, but when the one who was writing for the Ghetto Boys was me. It was actually DJ Roland. DJ Roland started out making beats for the Ghetto Boys. He made beats for Scarface on the Scarface 2. Mr. Scarface 2 CD. And that's when I met DJ Roland. And Roland brought me to the Ghetto Boys. And I started writing songs for Rick Bill. And me and Rick Bill made a couple songs together. I sold them a few songs. And then they gave me a contract to sign with them. But I didn't agree with the terms. So I left rap a lot. And I came back to New Orleans.
Wow.
And then when I met Baby, and Baby brought me a contract, and I signed with Baby with Cash Money Records. And then me and him wasn't seeing eye to eye on the terms, so I never went back to the studio again with him. I went back with Roland, and then I met Roger, and Roger took me under his wing, and that's when the whole ball hit the records. That's how we made all his records. Shortly after.
Yeah, crazy.
About a year after that, I met Crazy. And we started.
That's why I told y'all to let MCL talk. I'm trying to hear too.
Yeah, because Crazy came along a little bit after too. But man, you don't even know, man. When Crazy came, I felt like, yeah, we really going in the right direction because.
Man, so much fun, bro.
I didn't have all the weight on my shoulders by myself no more. And then we had Legend, and Legend was sitting. Alamo had a voice out this world. And then we had Jen, and we had a lot of more artists there.
Man.
A lot of people in America, and my cousin Jazz and everybody. We was moving up.
If Roger wouldn't have died, let me tell you, we'd have been the third hottest label. It'd have been Cash Money. It'd have been Cash Money, No Limit, and Hard Head. And Big Boy, of course, because Mr. Going all of them. But it would have been like four hot labels in the city.
Exactly.
Guaranteed.
And me and Chris, we owned downtown. There was no artists from downtown at that time.
It was nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody.
It was just us.
Nobody. The Hard Head, every hood, everybody had the Hard Head t-shirt though. I'm telling you, it was like the Hard Head, just like L say they dreamed it would be. That's how it was. Everybody in the city was a Hard Head.
Exactly.
From uptown to the 17th Ward to wherever, everybody was Hard Heads. Just like L say they dreamed it, it came true. For a split, everybody was Hard Heads.
But it got bad. It got bad because after a while, you start seeing it on the news, you know what I'm saying? Them black Hard Head shirts, you know what I mean? And I don't know.
I know about five of my partners went to jail with them all.
We can go deep in the debt in this, or we can save some of this for the movie. You know,
You love it at a time when you have all the legends in New Orleans, like Phil Phil, Kylo G, rest in peace, Tim Smalls, Lil Mac, back in the day, Gregory G, Spotty G, rest in peace, MC Sick, rest in peace. You got a lot of fathers and saw this was gone.
Well, I can promise you, we lost
game.
More than that made it. We lost more rappers than made it. And it's still happening. I can't believe it, bro. I can't believe it, bro. Me and Crazy, you know, we've been there from the start, bro. You know how many New Orleans rappers are dead that started with us going back all the way back?
We were talking about Rated X, boy. If they would have heard him, that boy was ridiculous.
Yeah, Rated X, he was right with me out the St. Bernard Project. Like I'm talking about not only him, Lil Daddy O from UNLV.
Oh, man.
All them dead, bro. All our people dead, bro.
Yep.
All of them. And if you could have heard them rap, you knew it was just more than just me and Crazy. But we
man,
also
dudes was ridiculous, and we had to rap most of the time. We were rapping again or with them dudes.
Ridiculous, bro. You hear me? But it is what it is. Yep. I thank the Lord that we still here. I thank the Lord for my home and Crazy. I thank the Lord that you know we still alive with this pandemic. I just want everybody to stay safe, bro. While I'm online on air right now, while anybody out there listening, I just want y'all to know, man, please take care of yourself, bro. You hear me? Because now it's deeper than the shit that we used to fight about. You hear me?
Yeah, been talking. You got also your album. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just telling you, me and MCL gonna be bringing y'all like a little EP called Hardhead Resurrection. This thing gonna be hot.
Yeah, I already started on it. I've been keeping Crazy up to date on it. And me and Crazy about to do something new just for this quarantine time, for these hard times. Crazy, I'm glad you told him because I was gonna tell him.
I'm sorry. Oh,
no,
man, you took the flow for so long. I got to say something. I
got to
give something good.
Yeah, Crazy, because you don't know, Crazy. I sat there and listened to your interview, though, at first, doing that. I was like,
oh,
man.
Look, he kept saying he said he was trying to get you to join us. I didn't even know you was on the line.
The whole time I was listening to you talk, I was like, that's my man. That's my motherfucking brother. That's my nigga right there.
Oh, shit.
I heard it. I heard what you were saying about Stuart and Slim, your dad, and like, you know, you the one.
I thought I heard you like talking in the background. I kept saying something like L saying, yeah. It sounded like you was talking.
Nah, because you really the one bring me and Soldier Slim together. For years, I couldn't even talk to Soldier Slim. You hear me? And you know why.
Yeah.
But because of you.
Yeah.
That dear Peaches, when you bring me to him, I had never even met him face to face. You hear me? And you know why. Like, you know, uptown and downtown, we had our issues back then.
It was a problem, yeah.
But
you know,
I
would say it's so small, so it's just like, I don't know, it ain't on no Crips and Blood stuff, but it's not no colors, but it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, uptown and downtown just don't get along. It's just how we be. I don't know. It's been like that for years. You know, I think it's a little better now, maybe.
Right.
Because all the projects got tore down and they put everybody together. So it's different now. It's more this generation a little different. Because all the real rough projects kind of went down and they put people together. They put everybody together.
Hurricane Katrina scattered us. There's no more uptown and downtown. There's no more uptown and downtown. Everybody everywhere now.
Yeah,
never
been Crazy. Let's talk about the second album of Murray and Sealers like together. Another one, most of the crazy cover of Pen and Pixel with a grave in memory of Roderick Rick Smith, and it was
and
Alamo painted in white. Oh. It was in reference to Isham, Homemade on Clay, or Instant Grand Posse, the cover, the painted in white.
That cover, I thought of that idea like the movie Dead Presidents. At that time, the movie Dead Presidents was like, you know, one of them, a big movie, and I liked the scene when they did the robbery scene and they put the paint on their face. So that's why I say, you know, me and Mo, at that time, me and her was really like that. You know, we was just like that. You know, we was ride or L to tell you, we was just ride or die. So That was just
perfect. I wanted to be on there with that pay.
and then Roger had died, so we was all really crushed. Like we was all really like when Roger dying had took something from all of us. Cause we so used to him, you know, we was so, like L say that was him and L Vision. So when you lose Roger was like a Master P. You know, that's like taking Master P away from No Limit. That's what it was like when you take Roger away from Hardhead. Just imagine. You know, like you see that role. That role right now without Suge Knight is pretty much, you see what I'm saying? It went down. And that's how Roger was. You know, Roger was in the streets, so he was moving everywhere. He was all over the place. Like he had people everywhere. We had Hardhead everywhere. So it was kinda we was doing it on the bottom end, and he was doing it on the top end. So just kind of like, you know, when he died, that's why on the album cover you see the paint on our face, and that's his real grave, that's his real tombstone right there, on that picture. That's his that's the real original tombstone, right? Tombstone.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, Chris.
So we laid on the ground, we laid and took that picture by the original grave.
Oh man.
Yeah. You know this album is a. Is a following cult in this album has a crazy following cult in for many fans around the world, from Germany to Russia to France. This album is very huge for a lot of underground fans of real down south, you know.
Man, I'd be so happy to see that the Hardhead brand itself. The Murder Inc. brand, you know, MCL, everything, even the stuff I did in the later years, I'd be so. But it all started from the Hardhead, because, like, all of those fans from the Murder Inc. and stuff like that, the True to Life album, all of those fans stuck with me to the day. Like, those fans, y'all followed me. I'm talking all the way through the No Limit stuff, because guess what? When I used to do songs, they'll put that Murder Inc. picture up there and say, we need one like this. they used to hold me accountable. Really? Like they would hold me accountable. We need a survivor in the game. We need the one like me and L did to make the phone call. We need phones like this, crazy.
Back in the day, when Surviving the Game first came out, I don't think no car passed through my neighborhood without playing that song every single day. Surviving this game, going from the pain. It sounds like Luther Vandross on the.
We would bump his song in a few minutes. crazy song like Bury Me, Barossa Illusion, Coming to Your End. You and Alamo was a perfect combination also. It was crazy how it was dope.
Because, you know,
man, you heard that crazy came on, y'all. Fuck the judges and the jury. I got a nigga seven years, take the fucking jury.
Let me tell y'all a secret about that. Alamo was so mad she couldn't make that Survivor Game song. She damn near begged me to take Legend Man off of the song.
Yeah.
If it's all in there, y'all, take Legend off.
I'm not gonna lie, when we done that song, when we done that song, I felt like we was ready for any rappers in America. Anybody come with anything, we ready. We ready. You know?
Oh, man.
It was so powerful.
You know.
But we would bump this track. It's Born You a Sinner. It was a murder ANC. Do you have a thing to tell about this track, this crazy track?
Which one?
I was born
That's what I'm talking about, real music right there. Yo, that should have been platinum, multi-platinum. Let me bring back on Crazy, you know what I'm saying, MCL and the homie Sin. Hell of a show, man. Thank you guys so much for, you know what I'm saying, just speaking the history and, you know what I'm saying, chopping it up about, you know what I'm saying, what you guys have done in the game. And, you know, I hope our listeners really appreciate this New Orleans classic right here, real talk.
Anytime, man, anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. Man, that song right there. That song right there, man, that just made me think about, man, it should have been in the Emmy Awards years ago.
Be sharp on it, right? Be sharp.
That was dope. He and the group was shot, but that was Blow. Was the older one of Eli Tate. His name was Blow. Believe it or not, Ed West was supposed to do that song, but at that time, he had switched to Rough Era Records. I was mad with him. That's the only time I ever been mad at it. He had switched to Rough Era, and he was stalling me out to come sing it. And Eli Tate had been with us, because when we first did Murder, Inc., the whole Eli Tate was with us, doing a bloody murder, so we always was on tap. I just told Blow, come do it for me. But Ed was supposed to do that song. I never forget.
Ed Defense, though, everything was like, you know, it was a rough time. Roderick was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why Crazy forgive him, though.
Ed and Crazy
was like glue. And, like, me and Crazy was like glue. If I could tell you the stories that happened on the road, you wouldn't even believe. But in the end,
we were brothers, man. I'm telling you, we were brothers, dude. I'm telling you, we were brothers.
We were like blood. We didn't care.
I'm going to tell y'all something, man. On that second album, I can't probably tell y'all who the producers is, but one song, and that's The Life Coming to an End with Big Rosa. Big Rosa did that one. That's the only producer I can tell y'all on that album. I know we did some cold songs, but I can't remember who produced them. I just remember Big Rose. Me that like this coming to it, because it sounded like one of the MCL Kilo G beats that he used to do. he had that, what you call him, that L? That, huh? You know how he used to do all this, that, huh? Yeah, that old voice right there, huh? He was going that little
Those was the days, man. But, man, me and Crazy got something coming, man. I already got half of it already done. I just need Crazy to lace his seasoning in it. And,
I got a couple of young producers sending me some tracks. So, this little dude hot. I'm going to make sure, because we got this one here. These songs, they got to be, you know, they got to be vintage. So, but we just go with it. We just go with the flow. We just going to go with the flow, so.
Right,
y'all just be looking out for it, man. We'll be back on this show to let y'all play all of them. We're going to play them all live on y'all show.
Yeah.
After your first album, you released also Keep Stepping in 97. It was on Ballymore Records, but we got already the song Cause I'm a Hard Head.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, I was feeling it that day. When I wrote that song, Cause I'm a Hard Head. Because I was feeling like people was wondering why I act the way I act, you know? So I just let it all out on the lyric, on the paper, you know what I'm saying? I was like people was like asking me, man, why you be, you know what I'm saying, always still on the streets? You a rapper, you cold, you know? And I was like, man, I can't leave the streets. And it was like, they want to know why? It's because I'm a hard head, you hear me? So that's what I did. That's how I felt. Wrote the lyrics, it did.
And Crazy, can you tell us about your first album, Ashy Tears for the World, in 98. Ashy Tears for the World, it was a very dope song, very emotional song, and it was a rough era. And everyone did by Ben Bexel. Can you tell us about this album? On this one, a lot of people thought you have a style. How it came about, in fact, about Tupac from Ohana. Hold up.
Oh, you about to play it? Or you want me to answer you?
Oh, yeah. I asked you about the I Shed Tears for the World song and the album.
Oh, man.
The album, too. Yeah. First
I think, I'm going to tell you a secret. The Surviving the Game song and the Make the Call song was a transition for me. Like, I think those songs prepared me. Those songs prepared me for Shed Tears for the World. That's my opinion. Because so many people love the Surviving the Game song on album, and the way I was rapping and everything, so that was the transition I went into. I just stayed into that flow, and I just grew as time went on. And I'm gonna tell you something. My first comparison to Tupac was from Bigger Rolling. You know, I was in the house rapping with Rated X, Red Dog, all of them. I think you was there too. And he had that little mic, that little square mic, that little plastic mic. We used to just all grab a little plastic thing. It was like square. It was cool. It was a cool mic you don't see all the time. And we all had just rapped. And Big Ro looked at me, and he said, everybody in the room, and he said, that boy, you're coming like Tupac. Believe it or not, that was my first time. This is a true story that somebody ever had told me. And I know I think I had something, if I'm not mistaken. I wasn't a big fan. I was Scarface. You know, to me, Scarface was the greatest rapper that ever lived. You know, that's just me. I was walking around the project singing, I started Small Time, Dope Game, Cocaine. That's what I was on in Ghetto Boys. The Ghetto Boys wasn't nothing better than the Ghetto Boys. So he told me the Tupac thing. That's what took me down the road to start listening and discovering who Tupac was. And I was like, they compared me to this guy. Wow.
Chris,
so that's
where,
huh?
Crazy. When you came with that, when I first got my chopper, I couldn't use it. Nigga, you sounded better than Pac on that bitch. You hear me?
Yeah, but you
sounded like him, though. But you sounded almost better.
What we got to do, though, when somebody's like Scarface or something, man, you can't, with them goats. You gotta walk a thin thread.
Yeah. I know I'm sorry, but
even with an MCL, you gotta walk a thread. Yeah. You know, with a crazy, you gotta walk a thread because we've been in the game so long. So the Pac thing was like a blessing and a curse because with you being compared to Pac, you get all the Tupac fans, but you gotta remember Pac had a lot of people who hate him. So I pretty much got everything. I got the people who hated him, and I got the people who loved him. And with me, So back in our day, we weren't used to the internet like that. By the time I got with No Limit, you know, haters all over the place. I wasn't used to that. Man, I used to stay up all night arguing on the internet with some haters. You know, because I wasn't used to that internet like that back then. We would just do everything in the street. We go put our posters up, hell, you remember the good old days, and promote ourselves down there.
Right.
You know, like L said, it's all these T-shirts.
Yeah.
And even with Rough Era, it was the same strategy. You get the T-shirts. Rough Era, basically, by them having Ed, Rough Era just cloned Hardheads. Rough Era was nothing but a...
T-shirts was the biggest promotion in my career. That's what...
Yeah.
If it blew me up, is when the T-shirts came out.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell y'all something, man. And I tell everybody that know, Ruffalo was nothing but a clone of Hardheads. It just was missing Alamo and MCL, straight up. It was the same. It was the exact because Ed had learned everything doing all the stuff running with Roderick. You know, Roderick would send Ed in to do so many different things for him, for the business side of it. So Ed just took his business to another level and helped them build Rough Era. It was just the same thing.
Ed done the legwork for Hardhead Records. Him and Si, he done most of the legwork to get Hardhead Records.
You know, El, because he picked me and you up. B did go get you.
They come looking for me in my neighborhood. That was the problem with me. I was too hard-headed.
That boy come walk the whole project looking for me. Park that van and walk through the contact. Ed was fearless.
Next thing you know, we're in Houston. They done kidnapped us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, L, was you there when Roger choked out Ed Boy Larry?
Oh man, I was there when he choked out Larry. I was there when he choked out the other one, well, Damon. He choked out
Damon. Larry walked around in his boxing clothes while Manny cooking breakfast, and Roger woke up and walked out there and said, "Say, bro, this your house?" And grabbed him and choked him straight to sleep.
Yeah, choked him to sleep. You the only one, crazy, the only one I seen beat the fuck out Roger. I tried. I fought him one day, but he got me. You hear me? I ain't gonna lie, he got me. I swung with him for a while, but he got me, Chris. But I watched you beat the shit out of him. Hey, you lucky though, because he was tired from fighting legends.
He wasn't even mad at me, L. He never held that against me, L. That's the funny thing. That's why I know you really loved the nigga. He never got mad.
You lucky he was tired from fighting legends, nigga.
Yeah.
Because he had been beat up legend.
that boy, legend, shin was bleed because Roger was kicking it with the Timberlands.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden you start beating the fuck out of him. I was like, this nigga crazy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
crazy and you nothing to play with, boy. Crazy. You remember we was in Kansas City? And I said, something you ain't like. And you said, well, L, we can go outside right now. I was like, no, man, I'm not going to fight you, big ass. I ain't got no weapon. You too big,
boy,
man. Nigga, we going to fight. I'm going to need a weapon,
boy.
A bat.
talking about the backfield we talk about with Ashitin, first of all, I have two songs in memory who got this backfield too. Is The Love of My Life of your album, Us Getting Us, Emotional, and the other track, it was Please Don't Kill Me on your second album. Very,
Please Don't Kill Me, that was,
at the same time,
yeah.
Political. Can you tell us about this one also, The Love of My Life and Please Don't Kill Me?
Please Don't Kill Me with
this. The Please Don't Kill Me song, I never forget that. Like that song, me and Ed did it, and Ed brought in a bunch of children. Cause I remember, I think either before around that time, somebody heard something where they had some kids singing. I can't remember what it was, but I had an idea that the kids were singing, but I didn't think we could make it happen. So I told Ed, I say, you know, you just do what you do, Ed. You just sing the hook, and we'll just worry about the kids later. So when I walked in the studio, Ed had a studio for the little kids. Ed said, I told you, little brother, I was going to make it happen for you. So that's how the Please Don't Kill Me song went. It went like that, and I think I had Brother Peter Muhammad on it. He was this Muslim that was from the Seven Wall. They used to always come into Albertville with them Final Call papers. I used to be on the block when I was younger, hustling, and he used to come out there and always talk to me about Farrakhan and about changing my life. So I never had forgot that. And when we did the song, some kind of way, I think Jazz or somebody was real cool with him. Somebody from the Seven Wall was real cool with Peter Muhammad. So I called Jazz, I think, and Jazz told him to come to the studio. And that's how we did that song. That's the other guy you hear rapping on the song with me. And far as The Love of My Life, that was just a song. That was another one of those mama songs. You know, that was the love of my life on Us Cool Enough. That was just me rapping about my mama. You know, she the love of my life. You know, she with me when I'm wrong, you know, smile when I'm right. You see what I'm saying? And so that was just one of them songs. You know, you just do a song about your mama. My mama, you know, it was five of us. She was in the project. You know, she made things happen. We didn't have everything in the world, but we always had a little something to eat. And we still alive. We made it. So that was just me giving back to my mama, just letting her know I appreciate it. Even though we were struggling, we made it, you know. So that's what that song was about.
Yeah.
Well, which
got
one?
Also
that's what you asked
song.
About. You, what, which one?
No, go ahead.
The
song Feeling Lost was dope too. Crazy production also. Dope song. Please Don't Kill Me album too. Back in the day.
Oh man, yeah, man, they got it. I'm gonna tell you something. Every time you hear Elvin work the songs, like El said, even back in the hardhead times, we do so many songs. They probably songs we even forgot about that never make it. Like they got songs right now that people play it. You know, they got songs because you know what? We studio racks. You know, if they got a beat in there, we rapping to it.
All night, we run into it.
So we studio rats. So if you're in the studio, but to the credit back then, man, let me tell you something. Roger was spending so much money on studio, the same when I went with Rafael with him. Them people be spending money. Right now, you can go to the studio for little or nothing. Back then, them people were spending hundreds of dollars an hour. Like, I remember Roger bringing paper bags of money and just dropping it on the table and counting it. Like, back then, it really cost. You know, now that we older, you can really respect how much money and how much them people believe in us. Because people were spending a lot of money. People, probably every project, like El did the Robin Hood, and he told y'all Roger had to have the album remixed and mastered. You know, back then, how much that cost you? Roger probably spent $60,000-$70,000 on El before he even came out.
Yeah, I used to walk in the studio. And a bunch of people was in there rapping and shit. Once I walk in that bitch, everybody dropping their paper, their pad, everything. Roderick in there. That mean L about to start rapping. The studio shut down. It was shut down.
L was doing stuff that I back then before I got walled in. That was stuff I had with Dream of. L did a show with Ice Cube and stuff like that.
I was opening for famous artists back then. I was writing for Brooklyn. I was opening for Ice Cube. I was doing shows with A-Ball and MJG, UGK. Back then, you know, we had cassettes. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even no CDs. You know what I'm saying? It was cassettes. And we used to make, you know what I'm saying? I started off making songs on a radio that they carried on your shoulder. You know what I'm saying? When Roger came along, we actually started pressing CDs. We actually started pressing cassettes with my name on it, T-shirts with my name on it. You know what I'm saying? It actually became real. You know, everywhere I went, people was like, Man, you MCL? Yeah, man, you made that song. Like, all of a sudden, this shit, he bring that shit into fruition. You know what I'm saying? And at that time, I was just a kid from the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? With a dream, you know, and a gift to rhyme. Man, these dudes had visions of conglomerate. You know, they wanted to take over the industry. They wanted to, you know, put the South on the map because the West Coast and the East Coast was winning. You know, it was winning the South. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And,
and everybody pitched in.
And when we came along, all the rappers was from uptown. No rappers was from downtown. And then I came, and then Crazy came, and then Legend came, and then you had
Buzz Down back in the day, too.
L hadn't already opened the door, so we just under the umbrella. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. By the time I got from Rough Era to No Limit, every time Master P used to talk to me, you know, he used to talk about Roderick. Like, we'd be in a room full of people here, crazy. You know, you rode around with Roderick. You know how it go. That's what he used to say. Like, he used to totally not even talk about the Rough Era time. He was always talking about Crazy from Hardheads. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So
Roderick wanted to do. He done what Roderick Dream was. And so, you know, he kept Roderick in his prayers probably because that's what Roderick wanted to do, what Master P did, you know?
Yep. You're telling the truth. Yeah. I'm talking about to the day if he be talking. If him and Bias talking, he going to say, Craig, you know, like it was with Roderick. He always used Roderick as an example when he talked to him with me around. A lot of people don't know that, but he really looked up to Roderick.
But a lot of people don't know that. The world don't know Roderick. They don't know him. But,
yeah,
you know, the Hardy fans know him. But I'm talking about,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, who was on the Baby Cash Money or Roderick died before he could make it to that level. But
yeah,
I'm telling you, when P talk, and me and P are in the interview, I bring it up. He going to talk about Roderick. That's how he do. Because those were people, like you mostly hear P talk about Lil J. But you got to think all them people was players back in the day. But Lil J was the grandfather for everybody because he was already in the dope. So he probably was the grandfather for Baby and P. But, and Roger.
But you, what Crazy is saying, what Crazy basically saying is that people paved the way for Master P too. And it was people like Roger.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. That's even a nutshell.
People who lost their life, you know,
yeah,
and for the love of this shit. And Roderick,
yeah,
was well on his way. Before Roderick died, he was about to sign Mystical. He was about to sign Tim Smooth. He was,
everybody,
all of them was
G-Slam,
him.
G-Slam, G-Slam.
He had me, he had Crazy, he had all of us.
Woo. Wow.
And then he got killed.
And guess what? And ain't no female, I don't care who it was, ain't no female at that time could stand next to Alamo. None of them.
Nobody.
She was
wrong. Yeah.
You got Trey A too, rest in peace. Juicy too, who was his wife too. Rest in peace too. You got a lot of people out of this time. Do you remember the first time? Oh, go ahead.
This was 1994. You got to understand, times was different. You know, it wasn't like it was now. We didn't have social media. We was in the street.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And it's nothing like it was now.
That's the social media.
We got the phone call. Me and Crazy got the phone call. Roderick did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey. And Ed was in a big-ass green bag going through our hoods looking for us.
And it wasn't easy.
But we always found us.
And you know, like I know, that created a split, and it fucked everything up. And we went out there anyway, and we tried to hang on for Hard Head Records, but you know it wasn't the same. And Cy couldn't handle it. Cy not Roger.
No.
Man's not Roger. It did.
Roderick was a big force, and he had a relationship with each one of us. He had a personal relationship with us. So he would take L for a ride and go talk to L, tell L come by the house, come out there by him for a little while, tell Crazy, come over here. He had a way with people, and they didn't have it, bro. They didn't have that. When he died, that was it.
Oh, he
recognized. We hung on for the love, for his wife, but... For that love, but that still ain't him.
Well, we still got that love for each other as brothers, but
we know
Roger.
We taking this to the grave.
But Hard Head Records died that night when Roger died. You hear me? And it is.
Right. God, don't make me sad. He was here today. Oh, he did, bro. Damn. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Let me be honest, bro.
He had hard head for life on his stomach. He loved it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He had a tattoo on his stomach. Hard head for life. He loved
it.
And you take a guy that with the money, and he loved it. He loves something. It'll be forever. He was going all the way to the top with it.
Right.
You know, all we had to do was what we do best. That's all he asked for us to do. And not get in no trouble, MCL. But, he had to get Big Bo out, so we got in trouble, too. I ain't going to give it all to you. We got in trouble, too. I know you know you're just holding it inside you. We got some trouble.
We was all like his kids, really. We was all like his children, like in a way, like Roger was daddy, bro. Roger used to take care of me in a way, like whatever I had any problem, just call Roger. You know? And I was
hear me? And he had the dream that I had instilled in him, and he knew we could make it. And it just, you know. I never forget
that. Do you think one day you can realize do you think one day you can realize all together for a while, maybe, it's a future?
Well, like I said, we still here. Me and Chris are still here in the beginning.
Yeah.
This all started from the lyrics and the shit that we went through in our neighborhood. So it's not all about Roger. Don't get us twisted. It's all about
us. We was the audience. Roger was the one.
Yeah. Me and Chris can put a song together right now and fuck over any rapper that you put in front of us. I don't care who you bring in front of me. I don't think there's nothing that I can't. You can go find anybody. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
Hell, why you ain't do that challenge that they've been doing? You been saying that Louisiana Bars thing? That'll be something good to get back in it, you know? Hello? Everybody here? Hello?
Yeah. I have just a question. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Everybody else sound like they disconnected with us.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, it's great. I'm here. Everybody else at L, where you at? Somebody must have disconnected.
So first time you have to be by the J. Hello?
Tim, can you hear me? You there?
Yes, sir.
We lost Crazy, MCL, and myself. But man, hell of a show, hell of a show. I don't know what happened to the board here, technical difficulties.
Yeah, yeah.
But we still got some more music. We got two tracks. One was by Crazy, called Everything. But then there's another one, which we're gonna close it out after that, called I believe Playing for Keeps, if I'm not mistaken.
Playing for Keeps is first album of Murder Inc., right? So.
Yeah, Murder Inc. You know what I'm saying? Hell of a show. Sorry for those listening that we had to have technical difficulties at the end. But we got 90 minutes of, dope New Orleans history. Thank you, Sin, for putting this together. I really appreciate you. Is there anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Just it was a good moment to reunite but real history on Murder ENC, well underrated group. I got all and thank you for brothers all and down, right.
absolutely. Stay safe, Sin. We'll catch you guys later. Go to the website UGSLife.com. Peace.
UGS for life.
Get the sound doctors in here.
We don't mess with snitches, man. So stop trying to come around us and see what we're doing. We know what you're doing, dog. We know what you work for.
What? A jump out that y'all didn't have it every girl I'm done. I'm done.
Get murked. My homie Murphy, he gave me the work. Play with my money, somebody get hurt. I am breeder like written on my shirt. I die for the hood that I claim is that bill. Four in the air when you see me for real. Run with them soldiers and they know the drill. I'm from New Wallace, I'm chasing the meal. Bullet is slicker, don't care if I die. I can draw deli and lift in the sky. I talk to my money, I think it's the phone. Can't wait till these bitches and haters are gone. I jump at that charge and hop in it because I'm done. I'm done, done. These haters talking, but really they ain't having my none. None, none. They say she like me, I bet that she married, she run. She's done, done. I hit them all up, I everything that I be. I catch a flight, I go anywhere that I be. I hit the lot, I cop anything that I be. I jump at that charge and hop in it because I'm done. I hit them all up, I everything that I be. I catch a flight, I go anywhere that I be. I hit the lot, I cop anything that I be. My nigga, we from 100 round clip in the drum. Woo! Bitch, I was out for the shit. Fuck with my squad and get hit. Woo! You see that phantom, I'm in it. Money come to me, I spin it. Woo! Fuck all that shit, just cremate me. Even in death, they gon' hate me. Woo! Lost all my niggas to trapping. Keep them alive when I'm rapping. Woo! Homie, I eat, you gon' eat. Shorty, you cheat, I'ma cheat. Woo! I gave you that hoe that you married. Gave you that kid that she carried. You want me buried. I ball like you niggas can't. You think I play for the Saints? Woo! I jump at that couch and hop in that because I'm done. I'm done, I'm done. These haters talking, but really they ain't having my none. None, none. These say she like me, I heard that she married, she friend. She's done, done. I hit them all up, I everything that I be. I catch a flight, I go anywhere that I be. I hit the lot, I cop anything that I be.
I guess they knew I really didn't know where you were.
Oh, damn, baby, it wasn't my fault that Knox found that stash and picked up that half key.
I'm pumping lead, leaving a bed from the shots to your fucking head, not to your dome. Left your family all alone, ain't no taking sides. It's me against the whole world. Only thing I love is that brown shit up in this world. You're fucking crazy. Why did he ever say this? He was found last night under bridge, headless. Murders after murders. That's how a nigga operate. If you're off the lucky, they find you dead and stinking from the lake. With my 45, I was issuing out subpoenas. For me to have your family killed for me is just a misdemeanor. So if you got 100 G's, you best to watch your back. You might not know it, it might be you that I'ma rob next. Cause it's survival of the fittest. I don't just talk about it in the rap, motherfuckers, I live it. And there's a 211 every day in my hood, Joe. And yours too if you would look up out the window. Crime stop and say to pay whoever turns state on me. But let me see if you gon' live to collect the cheat. So fuck you and the motherfucking drug sweep. Cause that nigga that crazy timer, I'm playing for cheap.
Hey, yo,
cheap.
You wonder where the mo is at and still you're trying to find me. Pushing a fucking wreck with some 50s right behind me. Look. Face, don't give a fuck if I die. Cause I'm the type of chick that's so involved in a drive-by. A young female swinging a boulder. Come on down and get your head knocked off your shoulders. Shit, cause I'm a fuck a hating bitch. Just like them thuggish ass niggas that I hate with. In the murder clique, a step queen, leave you hoes dead.
Hey yo, Alamo, represent yourself.
Yo, I'm a hard head. And let me tell you three rules that I've got. Number one, I'm never leaving this fucking house without my Glock. And number two, don't be step tripping.
Money, I'm losing my mind, I'm losing it all. I'm sadly selling a cane, yet some niggas are making me fall. So now I'm getting my gat and leaving them niggas broken hearted. As long as y'all got my back,
let's
get it started. So now I'm thinking that 187 is up my fucking alley. I'm bringing them niggas off Louisiana all the way to Cali. Legend was never known as a buster, now I'm considered a killer. I'm making my power move, moving it up on a gorilla. So crazy pants in the max, so I start kicking shit further. Them niggas are thinking of scrapping, fuck legends thinking of murder. So let me continue my route and peeling them gaps on proper line. Whenever a nigga disrespects, I'm gonna give me the reason to pop. I'm slipping up into debt, but you know I'm bringing the heat. Throw pins, flipping your homies, cause I told them I'm playing with geese, motherfucker.
Murder one occurred when I went picked up the bird. It's the last in my stash, it's about to get served. As I stride to my ride with the brick on my waist, in my fuck the world mode with my Nina and my Kate. She's my whole baby, I hook her, cause I saw her and bought her. Talk more shit than my mother, love her more than my father. Saw the nigga approaching, ain't no running them G. He's coming up on me fast, toting the 223. Either way, I'll be losing. Fucking life when I'm choosing. Thought he jacked me a jet, but he said fuck it, I'm shooting. Fuck that begging for savings. Going out like a man, he started pulling his trigger. But his trigger was jammed. Another murder to escape. Another body in the streets. Another hard-headed nigga playing for keeps, bitch.
Yeah, all this motherfucking murder. Yo, crossover, want y'all niggas take me to a different level.